This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday.
When Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, The Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
You are on the Victoria Police Community Hour with Gabby Tyack, Scott Davis.
Yes, it is Gabby and Scott today.
And Electra Wellens. And of course, Sammy is doing the panelling for us. And today we've got a lot coming up. We've got Electra and Scott in here, which is different than normal. So they're going to give us a rundown on what they've been up to. We've got some big news on The Electra front.
Is there such a front, is there? Is that a new weather system that's coming across
that's
or something, is it?
Yeah, Cyclone okay. Electra. It's coming.
There you go.
Coming to a city near you.
And we'll have the usual Crime Stoppers crimes, just talking about community safety, anything of interest. So if you've got anything you want to say, give us a SMS.
I might do that. I might actually send a text because I want to know what it is that you did last night, Gabby.
Ooh.
So we'll find out after.
Top secret.
Yes. I'm going to send a text in just to find out the answer to that.
Okay.
And it's National Missing Persons Week this week,
it
so
is.
We'll be delving a lot into it, those issues in today's show.
So once the cyclone's gone, we'll all be on the way. Let's go to our first track.
Enjoy 94.9. It's the Vic Police Community Hour. This is Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project with...
I'm supposed to say who I am?
Gabby Ty.
I thought you were going to...
Scott Davis and Electra Wellens.
Oh, I'm still me. Come on.
Electra, last week I was you.
Oh, okay. So there you go. We are mixing it up.
No, it's the GLOWS. Today it's the GLOWS and the Anti-Violence Project working together here at Joy. And you're the important part of the partnership because without the people from the GLBTI community and our straight allies listening, we wouldn't be able to do anything, would we?
No, wouldn't be getting very far at all.
But what we're doing now is one of the crimes.
Yes, we've got this week's target crime. Police are investigating an incident that occurred in Melbourne's eastern and southeastern suburbs on January 28 and 29 of 2010. A man allegedly stole more than $38,000 after fraudulently using a person's identification to change their PIN and withdraw cash from several banks. The man used the victim's name and personal details to change the mailing address linked to the account over the phone. Several forms of the victim's identification were then presented at a bank branch where the PIN was changed. The man withdrew large sums of money from bank branches in Blackburn South, Oakley, Mount Waverley, Glen Waverley, Clayton and Box Hill between the 28th of January and the 29th of January in 2010. He is described as Asian in appearance, aged in his 20s with a slim build and short dark hair. He was seen wearing a dark coloured V-neck shirt, and we have an image which we would like you to have a look at, and hopefully you can help us identify him. And the reference for this crime, which is quite an involved crime, is CA6268.
So where can people see the image?
At crimestoppers.com.au.
Excellent. And you just put in that number and you'll find it.
That's it. And up in the right-hand side, there's a little search area. You can always click on Victoria, but look for the search box. Put in CA6268.
And we're looking at a pretty clear image, aren't we? So they've managed to get some great footage. If you're running a shop, a retail shop, upgrade your cameras. I mean, it's really cheap now to have good quality cameras. Yeah. If something happens, we're not saying it will, but if something does happen, you'll be able to help the police and help Crime Stoppers work out where that offender went.
And Joe Baird from Crime Stoppers spoke last week about how important it is to make sure when you're getting rid of personal letters with information and identification details and bank account details, to make sure you shred them or rip them up or do something like that. Don't just put them in your bin, because that's probably how this person got the information to use so they could change the PIN of this person's account.
And the other thing is put a lock on your letterbox as well. Very important, because people steal, especially from units and flats. It's not uncommon common to see a stranger go up to those letterboxes, so no one would question that. So it's really important to have locks on them.
When people move out, there's often a, especially in apartments, there's often a myriad of return mail that gets dumped by the common mailbox area. And it wouldn't take too much for an offender to go through and find identity documents from people that have moved out of places. So maybe when you do move, it's getting onto the mail redirection really quickly so people can't access your personal
details. It's one of those crime prevention strategies. You know, you've got a motivated offender and you've got to deter that motivated offender as much as you possibly can. And so by putting the lock on the letterbox, by making sure that you divert your mail, all that sort of stuff is trying to get rid of the motivated offender's opportunity to be able to commit the crime.
Do you have any other ideas? What would you do to help minimise that sort of danger?
Identity
for people?
Theft.
Identity theft.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, let us know. And?
And if you see something,
make sure you say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
And we're back on, and we've got National Missing Persons Week this week, which runs from the 29th of July through to the 4th of August every year. You've probably seen a bit on TV, on mainstream TV about this, but it's really an important factor in particular towards the GLBTI community, because some of the stats are quite alarming. There's over 35,000 people reported each year, and that's one every 15 minutes, would you believe? And in particular, over 20,000 young Australians are reported each year. Two-thirds of those make up persons under the age of 18 years old. And if they're suffering from mental illness, they're at high risk of becoming a missing person. So this this sort of goes over to the community as well for a number of reasons. It's very important for people to get in contact. And this is what they're actually saying now through the Federal Police. They're doing a preventative program this year, and they're really focusing on the fact that what they want people to do is actually get in contact. Just let us know where you are. Let people know what you're going to do. It's not a crime to go missing, of course, but for so many reasons, it's really important just to let someone know where you are or where you're going or how long for can ease a lot of the worry. Because for every person that goes missing, they say it's 12 other people that are actually affected by that. So it's pretty amazing.
It's a really interesting conversation. I was down for the anti-violence project at City East Station, police station in Flinders Lane yesterday, and finished talking with the person we were introducing to the police station, and one of the constables said, you might have seen this person around, and come with me. And there was a person that had been wandering aimlessly for hours at Flinders Street Station, up Swanson Street, Flinders Lane, sort of around that block, aimlessly wandering, and at some times we were talking to themselves, going backwards and forwards, pretty well dressed, and the police had been concerned that no one had come up to talk to the person. They weren't sure where they were going when they communicated with them. It was difficult to communicate. Mm. They weren't using words. And I thought that was pretty proactive policing to get out there and say, well, hang on, here's someone that gets around a bit. You know, his project talks to people. There's someone that's from the GLBTI, potentially from the GLBTI community, based on the jewellery they were wearing. Mm-hmm. They might be known to this person from the gay community. I thought that was pretty good policing.
That's what we try to teach them out of the academy, is to think outside of the square.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know,
well done.
What opportunities are available to you to investigate what you've got in front of you. And that, yeah, I'm really impressed with that.
What I was amazed was I said, well, who brought the person in and how come it's so many hours? And, well, the public had been walking past this person, seeing a disorientated person, just assumed it was another disorientated person.
Yeah,
so no one steps up and very few people actually engage. And
that's right. That's why people with mental illness are of extremely high risk. And this can be, if someone's dazed, and this, especially with an society and people getting older and older generation, that people can be quite confused, and it's important to step up and actually see if you can help someone and report it as well for their own personal safety.
And that person could have been a missing person to somebody.
Yes.
They're loved by somebody and they may have been missing. And that's what Missing Persons Week is all about. It's not, there are people that go missing and are missing for years and years and people are looking for them, but you can be a missing person if you've gone missing for a few hours or a day. And part of the campaign is saying if you're late for something or your plans change, let someone know that, because if you don't let someone know that you've changed where you're meant to be at a certain time, then you possibly could become a missing person and people are worried about you.
Mm. Mm. Of course, the other exciting news that comes out in Missing Persons Week is that Victoria Police have reinstigated a missing persons unit within the homicide squad.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Were they missing for a number of years? The unit was missing
for a number of years. Yeah. We did a restructure of our crime department back in about 2005, and it was felt at the time that we didn't need the missing persons unit, that we could redeploy those services elsewhere. But to Victoria Police's credit, we've looked at it and we've gone, okay, we can see that we've got a gap here and that we need to reinstall this particular unit. And, you know, they're only talking about, I think I heard somebody being interviewed on the radio the other day where they're talking about maybe 9 incidents in sort of a 12-month period, which are looking a bit suspicious out of all of the thousands of missing persons reports that we get. And, of course, not all of those end up being suspicious. But it is a really important work that those members down in the crime department are doing.
Yeah. So the investigators there have to have particular skills. The most important one is being able to work at long and protracted investigations and exhausting all avenues of inquiry before they can actually say, is it suspicious? Is it... there's so many other boxes to actually tick.
I'm never going to have a fight with one of those people.
Yeah, well, that's right. They're quite complex. So obviously, investigations become quite complex in regard to being possibly a murder investigation as well. If there's usually no body or no crime scene or potentially there's no other evidence at all, it does become very hard to investigate, and that's why I guess where Crime Stoppers really fits in as well, where we say if you see something, say something, because every little snippet of information really counts.
And if I can just add in there, the person that's quoted in the media release that's come out of Victoria Police is Detective Superintendent Brett Gurin, and I can I'll let the community know, the GLBTI communities, that Brett used to be my boss when I was the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer in Gabby's role back in Region 1, and he's got a really good understanding of GLBTI issues, which he's taken down to the crime department with him.
This is an interesting tale because there's a range of networks that exist within police.
That's
where
right.
People move around, and you've got the skills like yourself and Gabby and Electra and others that move from job to role to job to different place and engage other people.
Yep.
It's a bit of a network happening out there.
That's right. Mm. And Brett is definitely one of those. I run into Brett every now and again, and he still talks about some of the stuff that we did together when he was my boss back in Melbourne before he's... And after that, he went off to Broadmeadows for a while, and now he's back down at the crime department.
Happened to be my boss out there.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Yeah.
Brilliant work. So yeah. That's coming up shortly, and the week is called...
Sorry, it's National Missing Persons Week, and probably with the unit one, a really important thing. They've actually established a new motto, and what the police motto for the new missing unit it will be, missing persons unit, is we do what others won't, so tomorrow we can achieve what others don't.
If you want more information, you can get across to Missing Persons, all one word, missingpersons.gov.au, and there's also a 1800 number, which is 1800 000 634.
And we'll put that on the blog and the post, podcast to go up tonight. It's about the main event of policing. It's actually the main event's about community engagement and community participating.
Absolutely.
And that's our song. It's the main event. It's Barbara Streisand here on Joy 94.9.
Do you know something about a crime that has happened?
Or is about to happen?
Crime Stoppers work with you to fill in the missing pieces and help solve crime.
Crime Stoppers don't use caller ID and internet messages are encrypted to protect your identity.
For more information, visit crimestoppers.com.au or call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000.
Joy 94.9, Victoria Police and Crime Stoppers working to help make our community safe.
This is the Vic Police Community Hour with Electra, Gabby and Scott from Victoria Police, Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project, and the most important part from you is the people in the GLBTI community and our allies that listen to this show and this station, and we thank you for doing that.
I've got an article from Vic Police News, and it's very timely considering it's Missing Persons Week. Homicide Squad detectives will have set up an information caravan today in an effort to speak to anyone with details following the death of Penny Galanopoulos in Mordialloc in January this year. Emergency services were called to a property at 494 Como Parade West about 5:20 a.m. on the 10th of January following a report of a fire. Penny's body was located inside the property after the fire was extinguished, and forensic testing has revealed she died in suspicious circumstances circumstances. A handwritten letter was recently received at Mordialloc Police Station. This letter contained information relating to the murder of Penny and the fire at her home. The information contained in the letter is believed to be credible, and investigators believe the author of this letter holds the key to resolving this investigation. And detectives would like the author of the letter to contact them as a matter of urgency and anyone else with any information. There was a caravan set up this morning in Como Parade West at 10 a.m. at the intersection of High Street, so it may still be there. Get on down there if you're in the area and have a look. Speak to the investigators there. If you know anything at all, let them know or give Crime Stoppers a ring.
Yeah, that's probably the next important thing, that if you're not comfortable in going down to the caravan, give Crime Stoppers a ring, 1-800-333-000.
Now, you just mentioned Como. The word Como will trigger some people that wouldn't have listened to the start of that. Can you just reiterate where it took place?
Yeah, the information caravan's in Como Parade West at the intersection of High Street, and the incident occurred at 494 Como Parade West at 5:20 a.m. on the 10th of January this year.
Excellent.
And this is a really good example of why we do this show, because as police, we cannot police without community involvement. And this is a really good example of where it's a high-end and extreme crime that we want, that we need the community to be able to help us solve. But at the same time, there are much lower-end crimes that we also need the community to help us solve, and thus the purpose of this show.
I said once on this show, and you loved it, Scott, that without you, we are nothing. The police need information from the public to solve crimes, and without that information, that the criminals are getting away with so many different offences, and we need that information from you. Every tiny little bit helps.
Well, part of the problem in the past with our community, the LGBTI community, has been, particularly the LNG, has been the lack of trust in the police.
Yeah.
And the people not willing to step forward and actually talking to you guys.
Mm.
Can we see more of breaking down the barriers coming over the next year, do you think? Do you see more of upfront, close building of relationships between police and the community?
Absolutely. I think that's definitely a direction. And Victoria Police have recently launched their blueprint, which is what we're starting to focus on. We have 66 priority areas to concentrate, and a lot of that is about our engagement with the community, how we do it, where we go from here, and setting up some standards about engaging in the community. So, yes, there will be things happening in the next 3 years, definitely. We have key priorities that we have to tick off on, and we can't do that. We can only do that by engaging with the community and the stakeholders, by forming those partnerships. We have to have a shared responsibility of how we progress.
Ken Lay and his leadership team have got a really strong focus on community engagement. There's no doubt about it. And you will start to see some of that translating through different communities. And we know that he's made commitments to the GLBTI communities here on Joy. So we will hold him to his word, and I don't think we need to do that, because he will do it.
I suspect it's not in a paternalistic way. I think back to my first sort of community days, getting out in the community doing stuff. And there was very much a person in blue uniform would stand up and lecture at the people that would hand out the neighbourhood watch brochures.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, they're the powerful ones, and we do the stuff, and someone will then eventually become a coordinator, and someone will run an area from the community, but they'll be always subservient to police. It's changed a bit, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
There's a lot more partnerships, a lot more direct negotiations, and community groups speaking with senior police around issues.
Yep. The police are only good as the community that they serve, and that's the people that we draw our resources from in regards to who our police are, and also the information that's gained. We're nothing without the community, and we really have to recognise that.
And I think you also, you guys, you know, you're sergeants, you're senior constables, you're acting sergeants, you're in that range. You're always taking a lead, I think, from the message coming down from the top. And, you know, we've had, I think, three really good police commissioners, one after the other. Mm-hmm. But this particular police commissioner, I've never seen an engagement so quickly and so willingly between the LGBTI community and the police commissioner.
And you know what that is? It's because he was doing it before he became commissioner. So he was taking the lead from the previous people in the job before him. And so when he got there, it was just a natural progression and a natural
hardest
job. Yeah, that's right. But I really think, and we've had Ken on this show a couple of times, that he's had that with him his whole 38, 40 years that he's been in policing, right from the time that he left Corumburra as a young fella and came to the depot, as it was in those days, that community has always been a big part of his ethos in policing.
Now, we've got more music for you. Stay with us. We've got a lot more interesting stuff to happen here on Vic Police Community Hour with Electra, Gabby, Scott, and I'm Greg. You're on the Vic Police Community Hour with Greg Atkins, the Anti-Violence Project, Electra Rollins, Gabby Tyke, Scott Davis, and of course you. And you're here on Joy 94.9, the informed partner of this great partnership between our organisations.
Okay, everybody out there, I need you to pick up your mobile phones and get ready to text in. If you haven't got your mobile phone with you, I need you to get onto your computer so that you can email. And this is what you are going to SMS or email. You are going to SMS or email your congratulations to now Sergeant Electra Wellens, no longer acting sergeant.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. You're shouting lunch.
I am, by the sound of it. Yeah, exactly.
Now, congratulations, now,
Electra. We do need to put a little bit of a proviso in here.
That.
Yeah. Look, there is a process for appointing new people to positions. I am really happy to hand over the baton from me to Electra. I wasn't involved in the process at all of selecting the applicant. That was done by five people on a selection panel, including a community member, and they chose Electra as the most suitable person for the job. So well-deserved, Electra, and congratulations on that selection.
And the job is, Electra, your new role is?
So it will be taking over the baton from Scott Davis, and got very big shoes to fill. I don't know what size shoes you are, but
10.
I've got a long way to go to fill, but it's really about passing on that that trust that Scott has built. So there's great expectations that I have for myself to try and come even close to what Scott's been doing, but to really build and continue to work with the GLBTI community and such as yourself, Greg, and all the other community partners out there about how we can move forward and continue to just keep driving and making some fantastic progress.
Now, so can I say it was a really rigorous process, the selection application. So I know that 8 people applied for the position.
Well, let's just say what the position is, because some people might be
that.
New here.
Okay.
And Scott, you were the manager of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit.
Gay and Lesbian
Advisory Unit.
You'll get that right one day.
Now that you don't need to anymore.
That unit doesn't exist in name any longer, but the position does.
And the content and subject matter expertise that that role has is the important part.
That's exactly
from the community
right.
side of it.
That's exactly right. So Electra takes on a job as a sergeant within the community engagement support team. And there's a team that exists there which has subject matter experts. And so Electra will be the GLBTI subject matter expert in amongst a whole lot of people that have got human rights, young people, multicultural, that diversity of skills and knowledge.
Well, that's a huge tick, because last year when myself and other community leaders, we're talking, I represent the gay community, and we had the leaders of the Jewish Community Council of Victoria, the other multicultural councils and multi-faith councils, we got together with Simon Overland, he was police commissioner, and the biggest sticking point we had about change in policing force was around subject matter expertise retention.
Yeah.
So that's a tick from us. And if you're telling me that the other faith and culture communities have experts in there as well,
absolutely,
then we have true community engagement in this new structure of police force. So congratulations, Electra, on being our representative effectively in there.
Absolutely, and thank you. I think we were just saying before about trying to put a little bit of a
yes,
blanket
we do
around
need
that.
Because it is a part of a process. So the selection panel have selected Electra. That position now gets advertised in our Gazette. And all of those other people who applied but were unsuccessful have the ability to be able to appeal. And this is a really important process, because there was a lot of nepotism in police, especially through the 80s and 90s. And so we need to make sure that it is the right person for the job, and it is a rigorous process. So if somebody out there feels aggrieved that they were a better selectee than Electra was, they can appeal and go before the Police Appeals Board. So we've still got a little bit of way to go, but I'm very, very confident that Electra should be able to maintain that.
But in the meantime, Electra has been acting in that role.
Yeah,
and
I have, yeah.
You continue on now in that role, subject to the appeal process.
That's right, yeah. So at the moment, still doing a part-time, so to bridge that gap, and the official start date, all going well, would be the 10th of September. In the meantime, doing it as a part-time role, so pretty much 5 days a fortnight, mixed over that fortnight of being in the chair and actually answering the phone and doing those emails. Of course, I do those all the time as well, but that's the official capacity. Yeah.
This is a really important job that Electra is going to hold, and I know that she understands the gravity of the situation, but congratulations. I really, really do say congratulations. You are the best person for the job other than me, but I've decided to leave.
Well, hey, the importance is, you know, in 2009, some of the work from the Archers pointed towards 3 out of 10 and 1 out of 10 in metropolitan and rural communities actually stepping up and talking about the violence that happened in their lives. So 7 out of 10 and 9 out of 10 didn't in the LGBTI space.
Yeah.
And we reckon probably, you know, in Scott's domain, managing that advisory unit and Electra and yourself and Gabby and the other GLOWs, we've probably been able to chip that forward.
I have no doubt we have.
Don't have the evidence yet. I'm sure we will soon. But where we go now, how we increase that, how we raise the bar in the levels of reporting, the comfort for community and police to actually interact with each other, well, you've got the mantle.
Yeah, and that's part of this role, and Scott has been doing as well, is to really embed issues that we are aware of within Victoria Police and to highlight and profile those as well back to the community about what our key priorities are as well. So we can merge those together and really concentrate on doing a fair and equitable service into the future.
And on the way here, Electra and I were having a discussion on all the great ideas that she has in this position to really engage with the community in ways we haven't before. So it's very exciting times.
Well,
Stand by.
You can just, all you can do, Electra, is to be like Scott has done before you and before him. I mean,
Melinda before me, absolutely.
Melinda and all the GLOWs, you know, Gabby and all the rest. And like us at the Anti Violence Project, all we can do is be the best here on Joy 94.9. This is the Victoria Police Community Hour with Scott Davis returning from...
triumphant return for one show only.
One night only.
He's passing the torch. Yeah. That's why.
That's right.
All the way from Police Academy. And you're part of Community Encounters. In fact, you do the training and develop the training systems and programs out there at the
Victoria Police Academy. Out there this morning. I had a class at 7:45 that I had to run.
Well done.
Yes, and now I'm here.
I want to see you do the beep test one day.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No.
And we have Gabby Tyke from Northwest Region GLOW.
And the texts are flooding in to congratulate Electra on her new promotion.
Thank you to all those people who have texted in or sent us an email. Some of those people being?
Being Janet, Betty and Paul. Thank you very much, in particular to you.
Yes.
No, it's a very well-deserved promotion. Yeah. I look forward to seeing you with your full stripes on your emblazoned on your shoulders.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to that too.
All right, about Electra. Yep, she's got enough.
Move on.
Gabby, what did you do last night?
Well, every year Victoria Police puts on a dinner for a few dinners throughout the year.
Yeah, three dinners, yeah.
And last night's was for the Islamic community and it was the iftar dinner. So we all the members of the Islamic community and leaders of the Islamic community come along to this dinner with a number of Victoria Police members. There are a lot of blue in the room.
What is an iftar? Everyone out there is wanting to know what an iftar is.
You just don't pay attention, do you, Greg?
What is an iftar?
Well, it's a particular dinner by the community. They get together and it forms part of their
Ramadan.
Yeah.
Period.
So this is really, don't detract from what we're talking about. Thanks, Greg.
That's important. It's important. A really important part.
No, it is. So, look, it's basically a dinner where everyone actually gets together. Gabby was part of that last night, and part of networking is what she's going to talk about. Really?
Yeah, it allows Victoria Police members to sit down with their local community members and break bread and have a meal when the Islamic people are breaking their fast at sundown. And we're able to just make networks and meet members of our community and make great connections.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity for the community to be able to explain to us what's going on in their communities and what they need from us. And it's also an opportunity for us to be able to break down some of the barriers and, you know, break down some of those stereotypical myths that people have about police as well, you know, in an informal sort of setting.
And
so
vice
relationship
versa, really.
Building.
Yeah, it is. And it's vice versa as well. The community actually embracing and inviting Victoria Police into their world and their culture as well.
Yeah. And the dinners are actually put on by both us and the community. So I think we foot the bill, but the organisation is done with community members. So it's not just us saying, you know, come along and have a free meal. There is a lot of effort and time and thought put into the process.
It's a great opportunity for gay and lesbian liaison officers to be there and to talk to members of the Islamic community about gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex issues.
Do you know, I see it as a great opportunity for you to talk to emerging leaders and the next round of leaders coming up through Islamic community. Just as in the gay and lesbian space, we tend to have a few of the diehards like myself that have been around for a long time. we need to be encouraging, nurturing new people to be part of those conversations. So in that iftar dinner, do you actually start to see new people coming forward in community?
Well, we certainly, after last night, have got a number of volunteers for community encounters, which for me is a really important thing to have occurred. So we've got a number of Islamic people that are now going to stick their hand up. And I know that two of our regular volunteers, Rose and Reem, also got up and spoke very highly about the community encounters session. So unfortunately, I couldn't be there last night because I normally go along like Gab does and wear the name tag that says Scott Davis, Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer. And that in itself opens conversations.
Yeah, I made some great connections with the people in the Islamic community, future leaders like you were talking about, Greg. So, and some people that I'll be in contact with very soon and hopefully have them on the show.
I actually bumped into a lesbian member of the police force at the Arab Film Festival who's who's Islamic.
Yep.
And I didn't realise she was a lesbian. Yep. And I'm met her partner. So it's amazing, even in the police force, people can choose to be out about their sexuality. Absolutely. Or they don't have to be out, do they? Mm-hmm. And just as in Islamic community, there's a lot more freedom emerging these days where people can be free to be true
That's
to themselves.
Right. It's the same with religion. Exactly. It's that choice, isn't it?
Mm. And our Chief Commissioner spoke as well, Ken Lay, and he spoke about how important it is for Victoria Police to resemble and mirror our community and encourage people from all parts of our community to join Victoria Police. So we were asking for more people from our Islamic community and our gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex community to join.
Yes, we're still recruiting very, very heavily. So get across to the police website if you want to join Victoria Police. Yeah. Now is really a good time to do it. Police.vic.gov.au has all the information about recruiting.
Police.vic.gov.au.
Police.vic.gov.au.
Now you're on the Vic Police Community Hour. Stay with us. We've got more to come. This is the Victoria Police Community Hour here on Joy 94.9. It's a partnership between Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project, most importantly, Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers and the advisory managers that now exist within a community policing task force, which is yourself, Electra. You're the successful sergeant that took over from Scott Davis. Right now, we have one more Crime Stoppers.
So if you live, work or play in the South Yarra area, now's the time to prick your ears and listen to this because we need your help. A man was assaulted at KFC on Chapel Street in South Yarra just after 3 a.m. on the 7th of April 2012. The victim was standing at the counter of the store when another man approached him and commented on the appearance of his partner. The man left the store before returning with a glass bottle, which he used to hit the victim on the head. The man is described as a Pacific Islander in appearance, aged in his early to mid-20s, approximately 183 centimetres tall, with a short build and short, dark, curly haircut in a distinctive style, which was shorter on the sides but longer on the top and back. He was wearing a hoodie and a dark jacket with writing on the bottom. We've released images of a man we believe may be able to assist us with our inquiries, and you can see that picture at crimestoppers.com.au and search for reference number CA6275.
Now throw us the date again on that particular offence.
Yep, it was the 7th of April at 3 a.m. this year.
We've had a bit of a lull in happenings around the Commercial Road, Chapel Street precinct. We've had a bit of a lull.
Touchwood, the lull continues.
Yeah, now it seemed to coincide with the closing down of a number of venues in the area. Not so much the gay venues, but certain straight venues. Mm-hmm. But also coincide with a lot of proactive work in the last 2 years with managements of clubs to train their...
Which the Anti-Violence Project did a lot of. Yeah, there's no doubt about
and
that.
And the management trained their staff, their security staff, their new contractors that won security tenders, and there seemed to be less of a problem happening in the area. But out of this bubbles up, someone describes a Pacific Islander glassing a person, hitting a person over the head with a bottle on that corner.
Now, this really needs a big community response. And whilst we're talking about community responses, can I congratulate the Anti-Violence Project on the big cheque that you received this week from VicBears?
Well, thank you. It's $15,000 from VicBears, which is just awesome.
To do some really important work.
The work we do.
Yeah, well done, VicBears, to that. And if people want to get involved, they need to get across to antiviolence.info because there will be a whole lot of work that the Anti-Violence Project will be able to do as a result of that great work by VicBears. So well done.
And next week we might even grab the outgoing president of VicBears, Rob Cam, and have a quick chat with him on this hour as well.
Sounds great.
Who retired last night at the AGM of the VicBears.
Oh, well, congratulations for all his hard work. We'll love to have him on.
Now, it's been a fantastic show today, Victoria Police Community Hour.
Don't forget, it's Missing Persons Week. Any information you have about missing persons, contact Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000.
Okay. And stay with us next week. Another week to go. And in 2 weeks' time, it's Lesbian Matters here on Joy 94.9. We'll see you next week, okay? Electra, Gabby, thanks very much, Scott. And we'll see you back next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.